So, Laurel, are you there in master control?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Everything good there?
Yeah, it's Dell. I'm at the baking company.
Right, right.
I thought I'd better explain what's going on.
Absolutely.
Mary Charlotte's been under the weather this week, and so she called the station yesterday and said, you know, it's unfair doing, you know, repeat broadcast at the cafe, and what about my listeners, and I feel really guilty and terrible. And she talked to Sean, and Sean said, well, let's get somebody else to do the show tomorrow.
Right. Well, that's good. You're a great candidate.
Well, Sean came to me and asked me, and then he talked to Mary Charlotte, who said instantly that she was feeling much better and she'd do the show today. No, she can't do the show. She's not quite up to it yet. So I haven't done this in 7 years. I'm a little rusty. And I know she normally does a sound check.
Right.
First.
Right.
Okay, so we're going to do a sound check. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, that's good. I have on my left our first guest today, Bill Hutchison.
Uh-huh.
Bill, I think she says like 1, 2, 3.
Yeah, say a few words for us, Bill.
Did I get these headphones on right?
I think they're backwards.
Okay, yeah. Oh, this is so much better.
That's
now.
Better. Okay, Bill's there. My Radio Cafe sidekick of the day, Linda Highhill, is right in front of me. Linda, are you there?
Yes.
Okay, this is good.
Sounds good.
George Weston's here, too, but he says he's not going to say anything, so we don't need a sound check. All right, so anyway, we've got a great show. Bill's here from the animal shelter and doing the monthly animal news. I have some amusing stories of my own. And then coming up around 8:30, the traditional Robert Knott event fest will be here. And we'll flirt with each other, as Robert's used to do with Mary Charlotte. In some way or other. So I guess we're ready.
So shall I start the theme here?
Start the theme.
All right, here we go.
I got it here somewhere. Now here it is. She gave me the script. Good morning, New Mexico, and welcome to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe on KSFR 101 FM. My name is Dal Dierman, sitting in for Mary Charlotte. We're broadcasting live from the Santa Fe Baking Company on Cordova Road and streaming on the web at ksfr.org. We're also podcasting. The website is santafe.radiocafe.org, where you can listen anytime you like, thanks to Santa Fe's amazing .foil computer services. You can also subscribe to the show on iTunes. Hi, everybody. It is Friday. It's a beautiful day here in northern New Mexico. We're sitting at the Baking Company, where Mary Charlotte holds court most of the time. I'm glad to be here for her. And Bill, welcome to the cafe. Glad to see you again.
Thank you, Dal. It's good to hear you clearly this morning.
As opposed to what?
As opposed to when I had my headphones stuck in my armpits and it was awkward and sort of vibrating.
Yeah. And Linda, nice to have my sidekick here.
No, thank you for having me.
Glad to have you. You guys been watching the conventions at all?
Yes. Sometimes, you know, when I really feel a lot of self-flagellation needs coming on, I just tune in that repub and get rolling.
Well, you know, I appreciate your coming in at the last minute today, because we were going to have Sarah Palin. She had accepted, and we were going to talk about executive experience, and then we thought, well, maybe you have more executive experience.
I feel like I do, and I cleared the vetting a little faster than she did. Mary Charlotte's vetting process can be pretty onerous, and not everybody makes it through.
But both, I think, have been fun to watch. I've watched almost every minute last week and this week. And they're so damn spontaneous. I just can't get over the excitement of both parties about themselves.
One of the things that I've been really amused by is how the media reacts to the speech, the prepared remarks that are going to be delivered before they are delivered, and then responds to the remarks after they're delivered. I've been thinking about trying this out in my own life, because I tend to upset people a lot, and I feel like I'd like to give them a heads up that I'm on the way before I really come in there and ruin things.
So say what you're going to say before you say it?
Exactly. Okay, just send my prepared remarks around.
Good. Anyway, we are here this morning in part to talk about the animal kingdom, and I know you and I talked a little before the show about the way people, sociologically, the way people think about, behave towards domestic animals, their pets, versus all other animals in the world. And I am, to be honest, I don't have a pet, which I know almost disqualified me from hosting this morning. But my sister is a fanatic, and she has, since the time we were young, very young, living at home with our parents. All kinds of creatures. She had a pair of finches, for example, early on, and kept them in the dining room in a cage. One day we were in school, and they got out of the cage. And we got home, and they'd stripped all the wallpaper from the dining room walls, which caused my mother to make her paint the walls. She later graduated to boa constrictors. This is true, which really affected the kind of men she attracted later in life. She does like to be squeezed.
And peel the wallpaper off the walls.
That's right, yeah. And now she's sort of calmed down in her early 40s. She has a cute little dog, Alfie. Don't ask me what kind of dog it is. And some birds, which she keeps in the cage. But I digress.
Birds are they're an awkward pet for me to see. Firstly, I love birds, but I like them outside. Inside birds, they're a little terrifying somehow, and I don't exactly know why. But yet, you know, you're right about the different sociological approaches. There's this split, and I think maybe it's a necessary split for us to live the way we a lot of us live in this country. But we work so hard, and I really never thought about this until I came to work at the shelter. And after a few years of really laboring on behalf of dogs and cats and seeing the terrible things that people can do to them and wanting to remedy that, all of a sudden you start casting a wayward eye over toward the cows and the pigs and the chickens, and it gets a little awkward looking at yourself in the mirror when you fight all day for dogs and cats and then go chow a cheeseburger at night. It's hard to resolve that within ourselves.
It's one of the things that, if you think about it, you won't do it, or for a while.
We're really, really careful a lot of the time not to think about it for exactly that
reason. I had that problem with soft-shell crab.
You know, fish has been one of the things that I really cannot say goodbye to. And, boy, I tell you, it's this constant battle between really enjoying this unbelievable piece of sushi and really feeling like I am a world-class jerk. Not necessarily because I'm having the guilt about eating the fish. Part of the problem is that I have guilt about not having guilt about eating the fish. But because I'm really not sure where I separate between... Where do you separate between I'm going to stand up for this animal being treated properly, but not this one because he's much more delicious?
It's a cosmic question.
Yes, it is indeed.
And you've been thinking about this for a while. You traveled over the summer. You went to Scandinavia, right?
I did, and one of the things that I wanted to do right away before I got there was plan to see some of the shelters that are in these other countries, because, of course, you want to see how other countries deal with the issue of animals. There's that great quote by Gandhi that says something to the effect of the moral progress of a nation can be judged by how it treats its animals. So, of course, you want to check in other nations and see how their moral progress is doing. But in trying to track down some of these shelters, they don't exist in the same way in Scandinavia that they do here. There's not a need for humane societies that take in vast numbers of stray animals, because there aren't vast numbers of stray animals. They're just not there in the same way they are here.
Why is that?
My feeling, and I'll tell you why I feel this way, and a lot of it has to do with the new Batman movie and a situation I had in Norway. But I think that the reason is because we tend to think here in this country, and I hate to get on the America bashing bandwagon, but if you see a little bit of the world, all of a sudden it gets a lot bigger and calls into sharp relief some things that perhaps you had not noticed about your own background. But they think a little deeper, and I think they think a little longer as a culture about what they're doing. So I go to see this Batman movie in Bergen. It's a little coastal town. It's incredibly hot.
Was it in English?
It was in English with Norwegian subtitles. And I'm sitting in this theater thinking it's going to cool down in here. There's no air conditioning. Why is there no air conditioning? Because really it's not an environmentally friendly thing, nor is it all that necessary. It consumes lots of energy. I can totally live with that. You try to get out of the heat, at least you're in the shade.
Well, plus it's Norway, for God's sakes.
It was 86 degrees with 90% humidity. For me, for some reason, this kind of weather makes me turn into an insane person, which is why I like the dry climate, because there's a whole lot less me-related homicides that way. So I'm seeing this Batman movie, and I hate going to the theaters here in the U.S., because you sit, there's people talking, there's gum and stickiness all over the floor. The theaters attract morons in the droves, and it's impossible to enjoy a movie surrounded by vast herds of morons. But I watch this movie immediately. Two teenagers sit to my left, a family of four sit to my right with a little kid. He's got his little high chair. I'm just petrified. I know I'm between the kid on my right squealing and the teenagers chittering on my left. It's going to make me crazy. The movie starts, they're all quiet. There's laughing where there should be, there's gasping where there should be. At the end of the movie, everybody stands up, looks around, picks up all their trash, picks up any other trash they might have seen, turns in a line to file orderly toward the exit. This is why you do not need animal shelters in Scandinavian countries.
Aha!
Because when people give a damn about what's going on around them, then that translates into every aspect of a culture. So I come back and you see these vast butcher cases full of meat, and they're there. I mean, you have grocery stores where they sell meat in these countries too, but you recognize the whole approach to the way of life is very different. Is it far superior? I'm not going to say that, but I am going to say I can see the difference and I can see where it comes from.
I don't think Mary Charlotte could have handled this conversation today, given her affection for free bacon here at the bacon company.
It's nice not to have the smell of bacon tempting me from her side of the table this morning.
Well, that is interesting. What's going on at the shelter right now?
Right now we're gearing up for the end of the year push, where we do our big fundraiser and we try and get enough money to keep the lights on. We are just like the Radio Cafe, providing our little service and trying to get enough money to keep going. We have tons of animals for adoption right now, and there's one. You can get online. You can always see the animals. Me telling you about them isn't as exciting as seeing the pictures. But we do have one dog that I want to mention this morning, Buddy, who is really the most hideous and wonderful dog that I've seen at the shelter in a long time.
A dog with character.
Oh, he has character in spades. He's been adopted a few times and returned. And so through this, we have learned that Buddy, who is very small, although he's like the Hadron Collider, you know. Perhaps it, in the whole sense of the scope of the universe, it may not be that big, but I do think there is a slim chance that he could destroy the whole thing and pull it down around our ears. He is one of the most active, engaged dogs I've ever seen, but I know we're a family-friendly show, but I just gotta put it out there. He's a humper. He is a humper of the first order. And so, you know, other dogs tend to frown on this. I'm not really excited about it myself, to be real honest with you. But he is a wonderful dog, and he's got this horrible little elephant man face. He had some kind of injury early in his life, and so his nose is this strange, disfigured mishmash of a dark little pancake. But he's unbelievable.
This is quite a selling job.
You know, we really believe at the shelter that you got to be truthful about the animals that you find homes for, because too often sending an animal home without letting people know what they're in for is like pulling a pin on a grenade, putting it in a box, and saying best of luck. But there's somebody out there who wants a dog just like this, and I want them to come and get that dog.
That's a beautiful story, Bill.
Thank you very much. That's all, Buddy. That's all, Buddy.
Okay. Speaking of available animals, Mary Charlotte did give me something someone had asked her to publicize, which I would ask you to read, because I inadvertently sound so cynical about saying the words sweet little kitties.
Sweet little kitties is surprisingly fun to say. You can do it in a really butch way
sweet
that makes you
little
sound
kitties.
Even cooler. This is a message from one of our friends in the Companion Animal Alliance of Northern New Mexico, Felines and Friends. Come meet some of the sweet kitties available for adoption from Felines and Friends tomorrow, Saturday, September 6th, from 9 a.m. to 12:30 at the Agora Shopping Center in El Dorado. Adoption advisors are now available at Petco every Thursday, Friday, and Saturday from 1 p.m. to 4 p.m. The cats would love to meet you. Felines and Friends, Bobby Heller and her group, they're a great group of people, and they do a lot of good work for the cats of this community. So if you're looking for a cat, I really can't argue with suggesting this event. And if you don't know where the Agora Shopping Center is, drive to El Dorado. It's the only thing you'll see.
Ah.
It's the one that's not the gas station, Dal.
Bobby, the neighbor of mine, was a neighbor of mine. Yeah, she does great things there with them animals. Yeah?
She's a great cat warrior.
Uh-huh. We're going to take a break for just a minute, and we'll be back with Bill Hutchison, and Linda's here, and George is here, and I'm here, and Mary Charlotte's probably home wringing her hands. Be right back. And we are back here at the Santa Fe Radio Cafe's On Location at the Baking Company. Dal Dierman here with you for Mary Charlotte this morning, along with Bill Hutchison, Linda Highhill, George Weston. George is an animal lover, and in fact has a variety of pets, He, however, is the strong, silent type and doesn't talk on the radio, but he was just telling us off mic about his calico. And you, George, you can just use hand signals. You obtained the calico from the shelter. Bill, can you interpret what he's saying?
He is. He's saying that this cat is the best cat he's ever gotten, and in large part because it came from the Santa Fe Animal Shelter. I think that's where he was going with that.
But it is quirky.
It is, you know, it is Santa Fe.
Anyway.
One of the recent things that we've really been dealing with a lot was, for several weeks now, was something that you saw in the news, the Afghans, the many, many, many Afghan hounds that came into the shelter.
Yes.
And the last of them have gone to rescue groups. But one of the things that it always brings up, which is very interesting, I think, for people, but it only sort of slips into consciousness and then right back out again until the next time it happens, are these cases of animal hoarding, which in my time at the shelter has been one of the most amazing things that I've experienced to go on these hoarding cases. Because where you have people that tend to respond by saying, you know, they hear about these stories and they see these pictures of these animals in these incredibly awful predicaments. And the response, more often than not, is string them up, do to this person what they did to these animals, as though somehow this was of malicious intent. And the thing that shocks me about these cases more and more, and the thing, if there's one thing I want to tell you, Santa Fe, about animal hoarding, it's that the people who do this are hurt, wounded, scarred people who really end up needing a lot of help and not so much vilification. And in seeing how the Afghan hound situation has played out, that has come up very sharply for me. I've seen in the comments section of our local newspaper and other places some really vehement rhetoric that about the individual that had these dogs. And this person was a very, very gentle, dear, loving person who went horribly, horribly awry and who desperately needed help. And when you have a hoarder situation like this, what you realize is how many that are happening that you never realize, because they fit a very narrow psychological profile a lot of the time. They tend to be very shy, very withdrawn. They tend not to have guests over because, of course, how could you do that in that kind of living situation? And if you have any suspicion that these sorts of things are happening, engage and interfere and speak up. We have this responsibility to do right for the sake of the right thing being the thing to do. And tracking these things down and really understanding that we can intervene not just on behalf of the animals who desperately need it, but on behalf of people who dearly love animals and who really don't want to be doing the terrible things they're doing but have lost sight of that in a very deep way. I would encourage a little tenderness. We like to think at the shelter that we wouldn't, and it's something that we don't live up to, and we try, and it's very difficult, but you don't want to treat a person with any different kind of cruelty, with any different kind of kindness, with any cruelty that you wouldn't treat an animal with. If you wouldn't shout at your animal, if you wouldn't yank them around, if you wouldn't wish horrible things to befall them, then, God, why on earth would you do this to another human being?
I really appreciate your galactic attitude about this.
I think that the galactic attitude, while not coming into play necessarily in all aspects of my life, is just about the only way to survive doing animal welfare.
Well, I know that one of the other things you really enjoy doing, and I really enjoy your doing it, is your radio program on KSFR.
I have another secret radio life that's not the animal show.
Yes.
I do.
And?
That's my radio show, The Anthologist's Cabinet of Musical Marvels, which is a radio show in which I pick a different theme or approach or mindset or parameter and bring an hour's worth of songs to
it is
to
such a pithy title.
The Anthologist's Cabinet of Musical Marvels. You know, I'm obsessed with the old Dutch naturalists and their curiosity cabinets that they used to build, where you would assemble this amazing, bizarre collection of natural objects, of specimens and shells and things. And that's sort of how I view my radio show, as a strange and eclectic collection of things that are weird, that maybe a lot of people wouldn't want in their house, but that I think when put together in new and interesting ways are at least bearable and engaging for an
hour. Well, and you don't have to have it in your house except temporarily, and it was on Thursday nights. How long have you been doing the show now?
I'm going to hit 4 years in November, which is freaking me out to realize.
Yeah, you need a raise.
Absolutely. I want a 10% raise on my existing salary.
You can have a 50%
salary.
Raise.
You are so generous now.
Uh-huh.
I'm really touched. I'm weeping out of the corner of my eye.
Well.
But not because I've seen
litter. If there were actually money involved, I'd be weeping too.
I'm moving to Friday nights at 9. I've been on Thursday nights. I've actually realized I've been moving down the week. I first started on Wednesday nights, moved down to Thursday nights, and I'm on Friday. I'd like to do Fridays for a couple of years, then see what's going on Saturday, check out Sunday and Monday. But for now,
we could do that.
If you want to hear non-animal-related me stuff and some really interesting music, you can tune in tonight, Friday night, 9 p.m. right here on KSFR.
Well, Friday night is a great night for your program, I think. And it is on, as Bill says, at 9 o'clock. Southwest Stage is after that at 10. And we do. No? Huh?
I think Southwest Stages is now in the former Anthologist Cabinet 9 p.m.
slot. Oh, right. Yes.
And after me at 10 is our good buddy Steve.
Of course.
Who wasn't there this week.
It was sure, I know what's going on.
I had Thursday night guys with me on Friday. It was a little confusing.
And obviously I've caught it, yeah. No, Steve was at the convention, I think.
He was. Yeah. He was. I saw him right up there behind Sarah Palin for a while trying to do bunny ears, but she was about a foot and a half taller than he was.
He sent some pictures from the convention, which I was looking at yesterday, and he certainly did make some appearances with some fun people. That bunny ears thing really goes a long way.
It does. I adore Steve. If you don't know his show, then, boy, you got to tune in. I'm a neophyte compared to Steve.
Yeah, he's been doing it for quite a while. So this Friday you're on, and of course the other thing that we do together, which is coming up sooner than anybody imagines, is our fall fun drive. And one of the highlights of the fun drive, one of the most productive from the standpoint of getting the audience and listeners involved in giving to keep the radio station going, is a little thing we like to call the dog and cat vote during the radio cafe. We usually do it once during a drive, and the phones ring off the hook, and at 9 o'clock when the show is normally over, it keeps going, and I have to say, having been in the cat corner for a while in terms of my personal predilection for who's going to win, that cats have been ahead the last 2 years when a noble listener with an egalitarian streak for sure calls and says, well, whatever you need to make up the dogs, I will give. Which is really what she does, and it's a wonderful thing. But the fact is that the competition is about to begin again.
What started as something sort of fun and novel has become something indeed as savage as the ongoing battle between dogs and cats themselves. A little blood was spilled last year. George was scrubbing at the sound batting stuff on the table this morning to try and get the blood stain out in time for our next Dogs v. Cats. But gear up and get your dollars ready.
Yes, I can't wait. In fact, our mailing we usually do before the fun drive, I believe, goes out next week, right, Linda?
That's correct.
And, of course, those who contribute early will be helping to shorten the fun drive so that all we have to do is the dog and cat thing and we can all get back to normal.
I'd be up for that.
Okay. Bill, thank you very much for coming in today at the last minute.
Thank you, as always, Dal.
Sarah, thanks you as well.
Thank you for doing such a bang-up job for Mary Charlotte.
It's not over yet.
No, it's not. Hey, it is for me, and that's what I'm glad about.
Okay, Robert Knott will be here in just a moment. We'll take a break and be back with Speaking of the Arts. Well, let's recap for those who only tune in on Fridays for Robert's segment here on the Radio Cafe. Robert Knott's here with Speaking of the Arts, and of course he's used to bantering with Mary Charlotte, which of course is always an amusing high point of my week.
Well, that's nice. What are you going to do this morning?
That's a damn good question.
I see.
I'm going to throw it to you and sit back.
Well, wait a minute.
No.
How do you pronounce your name, actually?
Dal.
Dal, okay.
Yep.
So I remember that song, "Oh, you beautiful Dal, you great big beautiful Dal."
I was hoping for that.
I bet you were. Mm-hmm. What do you want me to talk about? Fiesta? You know it's Fiesta Week in
Well, let's do more about Fiesta to begin with, yeah. And you just be yourself.
Who am I supposed to be? Mary Charlotte? That would be great.
I'm going to be Mary Charlotte.
If I had to be Mary Charlotte, I'd have to talk about those dogs.
Uh-huh.
Honey and Milk and sing the little song.
Don't flirt with me.
All right. Oh, Dal. He's my kind of guy. Okay, it's Fiesta de Santa Fe, in case you didn't know, the 296th.
What page are you on?
I'm on page 38 of the Pasatiempo, your arts and entertainment and culture guide, which you should pick up every week.
See the way I led you right into that plug?
You did very well. Thank you. I'll try to do the same for you on KSFR 101.1, which came in very clearly on my radio this morning.
Excellent.
How's the signal going?
Signal's getting better all the time.
Oh, boy. Good.
Spoken like a true general manager.
So of the 296 fiestas, how many would you say you've attended?
One. One.
Just one?
Yeah.
Okay, that's all right. That's as long as you did it once, that's fine.
Parking was difficult.
It certainly was. There's a bus system, I believe. But there's a number of events you can take part in. And, for example, all day long today and tomorrow, there's going to be an arts, crafts, and food booth on the plaza downtown. So if you're trying to avoid traffic, as always, don't go there. But if you want to take part, get down there. Take a bike, walk if you're within a mile or so. That's good for you. The bus system will take you there. There's also entertainment from 10 to midnight. The official opening of Fiesta is at noon today, and usually they have a lot of speeches. I don't know if you ever sat through any of those. Sometimes they're a lot of fun and sometimes not, but I assume Mayor Koss will be there speaking.
Oh, sure.
And then at 2 o'clock we have Don Diego de Vargas entering with his, his train, so to speak.
His garb, his outfit.
Well, not just his outfit. He brings his whole...
His posse.
Yeah.
Yeah.
His entourage.
Yeah.
They show up, and then they do some theatrical shtick. And then tomorrow is the Children's Pet Parade.
Ah.
Now, that's something I'm sure you've attended.
And Mary Charlotte will be there, I'm sure.
Taking part?
Well, you know, she has pets.
I see. Calling in sick on a Friday, but okay to go to the Pet Parade on a Saturday.
That's what I was thinking.
I was thinking the same thing.
Uh-huh.
I was in the Air Force with this guy, Joel Troop. I still remember this day.
Ah, Joel.
Yes, and I was in Tucson, Arizona, and he called in sick, and we were all sitting in the room waiting to get on our flight. We were going on a training flight over Arizona. And we had the TV on, and the TV was at the racetrack, and the announcer was interviewing people who were in the stand. You got it. There's Joel Troop on the, answering questions about which horse he was betting on.
We'll be watching the pet parade tomorrow.
I wonder what
see who shows
doing.
Up.
That's right. So that's 9 o'clock. It's free. It's downtown. People line up and get on their pillows, etc. At 8:30. So look forward to all sorts of animal antics, simian shenanigans, and may I say, canine cut-ups. Meanwhile, the Queen's audience is tomorrow at 10:45. Are you part of the Queen's audience?
I have been in the past, but no.
And, you know, when I went to this thing a couple of years ago, I thought that, like, she would take questions from the audience.
Uh-huh.
You know, like, can I kiss a girl on first date, stuff like that. But it's all very regal and stuff. She's sort of very, you know, sweet. And I have to say, the people playing the Queen and the King and de Vargas are usually very, very...
So where did you next look for the answer to that question?
What question?
Can I kiss a girl on the first
date? Well, there's other people you can ask.
Okay.
All right. Now, tomorrow at 3 o'clock, and you need to hear this because this is something that affects all of us if we wear clothes, is the Historica Fiesta Fashion Show.
Ah, yes.
Sponsored by La Sociedad Folclórica. It's at James A. Little, 1060 Cerritos Road. Not too much to get in. We don't name prices here on KSFR, but you can see the price on page 38 of Pasatiempo. And Craig Smith wrote a really great piece in today's Pasa about historical fiesta fashions. And we have all these great images from the photo archives from the Palace of the Governor's photo archives, with a little side piece on Genoviva Chavez, who the city Southside Community Center is named after, who was a real fashion maven. And here's some great photos of her, including one with a handgun and what looks like a tiger skin. I guess she was out hunting.
It's very vice presidential. Don't you think?
Well, it depends on which party you're with. I'm always in the mood for a party. Yes, I would say it's a little vice presidential. Meanwhile, Rob DeWalt, our resident food writer, has written a little piece on where you can eat over Fiesta Weekend on the plaza relatively cheaply, and he tasted all these things. So it's Fiesta Weekend. You should consider all these fun things, which includes the fun a weekend of the Santa Fe Fiesta Melodrama, which is at the Santa Fe Playhouse. I thought it was pretty good this year. They've had a few bad years in a row, but this one sort of recovered.
What can you say about it?
Well, I can say that it makes absolutely no sense. These aliens come from outer space. They land in Santa Fe. That never happened. We know where they landed. We have documented proof, and you and I are about to go on an expedition in a couple of weeks to find their bodies. I think they're still buried down there. Thank you for your offer. They use corn oil to rejuice their machine, and the villain sees this and decides he's going to start drilling for corn oil. So he wants the vegetable rights to the county. Now, that's all fine and good, but then the plot falls apart, and all these people come on and sing, and they're sticking the chase scene. It's hilarious.
Sounds strong.
8 o'clock Santa Fe Playhouse tonight and tomorrow, 2 o'clock Sunday. That's 988-4262. What time is it?
Not time yet. 20:09.
Okay, we're doing great. Did you need something to say there?
Not yet.
Oh, okay. Because Mary Charlotte would come right in.
I know she would, and I, you know,
when
I do this, when I do this next time, yeah.
Oh.
I'm respectful.
Now, one of my favorite performers is at the Tiwa Grand Ballroom at Buffalo Thunder Resort tonight. Gladys Knight.
Oh, cool.
Do you have any Gladys Knight memories?
Absolutely. I love Gladys Knight. I had a girlfriend who... never mind.
No, go ahead. Did she look like Gladys Knight?
No, she didn't, but she really liked Gladys Knight. She liked the beat.
I had a girlfriend that liked Johnny Mathis. That should have tipped me off. Something was amiss there. You got a girlfriend that likes Gladys Knight. I think we're both in trouble here. Mm. She's leaving on a midnight train to Palenque Pueblo.
That
what
was
time?
That.
9 o'clock tonight. I've got some information somewhere here. Oh, yeah, here we go. 455-55-55. She's not going to have the pips with her, but I don't care. She looks beautiful in this photo.
She looks just as good as ever.
She does. She's just one of those women that never ages. Do you know many women like that?
Seven.
How many men do you know like that?
None.
What about yourself? Have you aged?
Definitely not, no.
Are you aging during this section?
Yes.
I noticed that. That's amazing.
I think the problem is you two can talk really fast.
Well, I can talk slowly if you like. I can slow down. It's just that my mind starts running ahead of me.
I'm not encouraging you to change your style.
My imagination runs away with me, and sometimes it runs away without me. Once it ran off.
I have a day job.
Yeah, that's good for you.
Yeah.
At least you got up here down here early in the morning without griping about it.
Oh, I haven't said a word.
Okay, what else? Okay, here we go. The College of Santa Fe has a fall concert series, which always takes place inexplicably in the fall. Tonight at 8 o'clock, Santa Fe-based hip-hop and R&B artist Paul Rivers Bailey performs at the College of Santa Fe campus. If you want to avoid the plaza and the fiesta-related events, head on over there. It ain't too expensive. 424-5050. And from 5 to 8 tonight, we have music with O'Keefe.
Ah.
Everyone knows Georgia O'Keefe.
Mm-hmm.
Did you know she could play the cello?
I had no idea.
Well, neither did I. Anyway, she's dead, but somebody's going to be playing over there at 5 to 8 o'clock. At 217 Johnson Street at the Georgia O'Keefe Museum at Friday nights, no charge.
Still
good deal.
Did you go to see Zsombor last night?
No, I sent him a letter of condolence.
Ah, okay. See, I wasn't going to ask that now, but I talk slower, so I'm still back at the fiesta thing.
I've done a lot of fiestas in general, but I've only gone to Zsombor twice, and I feel like since I moved here in 1992, that's enough. But some people want to go every year. I'm amazed he keeps, like, coming back every year and going through this.
It is odd, isn't it?
Like, you would think there'd be a different ending one year and he would escape and chase
people.
That would be hilarious. Wouldn't it be fun as long as he wasn't getting near you? And like he chased the rest of the people. We were up on that KSFR platform and he left
in El Dorado? Yeah.
Yeah, like King Kong. Mm-hmm. He goes and gets the villagers.
Uh-huh,
I'd like to see some vengeance on the part of Zsombor.
We gotta create some new excitement. Yeah.
Because he keeps screaming the same way every year, too. I mean, what if he begged for mercy? And then everybody wakes up hungover, so does your gloom really go away?
Yeah, no, it gets worse.
You're probably right.
You were saying.
I was?
Maybe. I have something here from St. John's. St. John's College, with campuses in Santa Fe, New Mexico, and Annapolis, Maryland, in case you didn't know, is an independent, non-denominational... Why? That's not the... Wait a minute.
Non-denominational? What's that mean?
I don't know. Mary Charlotte gave me all this stuff, and I didn't read it first.
She's always given me something, too.
Yeah. Back to you while I figure this out.
See, dead radio airspace due to the guy that runs the thing. This is terrific.
It's okay. I have the latitude.
Inspiración Flamenca. The Flamenco Show, 8 o'clock Saturday at Body of Santa Fe, 333 Cordova Road, 9860362. You got to pay to get in. That's 8 o'clock tomorrow night.
They do some fun stuff there.
They do. Mm-hmm. And opposite them, which often happens in this town because there's a lot going on, at 7 o'clock at the James A. Little Theater is the traditional Tibetan dance and music by the Tibetan Association of Santa Fe. They're going to have a performance by some local Tibetan children and monks from the Drepung, and if I mispronounce it, I never mean to on purpose, Drepung Losaling.
That's what you say.
No, when it comes to proper nouns and stuff, I really don't try to, but it's just the way I chat. See what you did? Drepung Losaling Monastery.
Lost his place.
I wish I could lose yours. 7 o'clock, James A. Little, New Mexico School for the Deaf, 1060 Cerritos Road. You got to pay to get in. Cheaper for students. You can buy tickets at the ARC bookstore, 988-3709, or at the door.
Okay, I got one.
Go ahead.
Fur stethoscope.
Huh?
Fur stethoscope. Doesn't that sound compelling? Yes.
It sounds like something I do with my dog. What are you talking about here?
with poets Lauren Camp, Zoe Dwyer, and musician Paul Brown on oud and bass. Revel in poetry, music, food, and great company on Paul White's beautiful Chupadero land. Potluck starts at 4:30, performance at 8, at 6. A fire afterwards.
I could start a fire right here for half that price.
Want to know more about it? It says more information in a later email.
When is it?
I don't know.
Let me see that press release.
Oh, really?
This burns me up. We talked about this, people. Get your press release.
I know. This is
correct.
So rude.
We sometimes get
my
things wrong.
My first time. Mary Charlotte would not put up with this.
Mary Charlotte sometimes gets us the wrong positive sometimes, but quite often you all don't give us enough information. Time, place, price, phone number, please, the proper address. Get all that stuff together. This has nothing. It says 4:30, performance starts at 6, fire afterwards in the dark, into the night. That really makes me
more information.
I guess the Zobra's coming back.
Email.
Okay, it does say Saturday, September 6th. It's at the top.
Oh.
All right, so that's, when is that?
Tomorrow.
So tomorrow they're going to do their own fire. Wait a minute. What if they need a Zobra and this is a nefarious trap to get you and I to show up? You and I will be doing the screaming.
Well, it won't be a surprise.
It won't at all. Let me see here.
You're doing really well without your usual sidekick.
Well, I can do really well. You'd be surprised how well I do independently. I actually survived the rest of the week. I actually have my own life. And
I never thought of that.
No, that's pretty good. Let me see. I was about to say something, and all of a sudden... Okay. Books at the market. We were talking about the farmer's market. They moved into their new place over on 1607.
Ah, yes, beautiful.
I haven't been there yet.
It's beautiful.
It's right by the railroad tracks. Author Wendy Johnson is going to read from and sign copies of Gardening at the Dragon's Gate, At Work in the Wild and Cultivated World, from 9 to noon tomorrow. And 50% of the book sales benefit the Santa Fe Farmer's Market. And Rob DeWalt did a really nice Q&A with her in today's Paso Tiempo. So.
And in the Farmer's Market proper, there is now a dedicated KSFR broadcast booth. Because, of course, we do broadcast in the market at 10 o'clock on Saturdays. Thank you. I got that right. And we will be tomorrow, as a matter of fact.
Did you ever see that Charles Bronson movie where those bad guys are after him and he raises watermelons? And they take machine guns. They're mad at him, so they shoot his watermelons. I'm not making this up. I was just thinking about that, like in the farmer's market. I would never want such a terrible thing to happen. But, like, if someone was chasing us, which I can see happening after today's show.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, and we were in the farmer's market and there was a big bin of watermelons. Could we hide under them, conceivably?
We'll have to ask permission.
They're not getting, you don't stop in the middle of a chase. There's things I'm going to have to teach you, I can see, to ask permission to hide. You got to find good hiding.
Excuse me.
Okay. Here's a good title for you.
I saw Charles Bronson live once.
That must have been before he died.
It was.
What was the story?
It wasn't yesterday. He was coming out of his hotel room, looking nefarious. I walked by him. I said, hey. He snarled. That was it.
Was it here in Santa Fe?
No. It was in San Diego.
Was he filming a movie, to your knowledge?
To my knowledge, no.
I see.
Yep. He was just there.
Perhaps had you asked for an autograph, he would have reacted nicer?
I suspect the opposite.
I see.
Mm.
Interesting. Huh.
Just an aside. I don't know.
No, that's good. I like talking about Charles Bronson. If you want to talk Charles Bronson, Pam Grier, Ursula Andress, I'd rather do
that. Ursula Andress.
Mm. Oh. Then come on here and talk about this delightful stuff of the arts and entertainment. Okay, here's a good chat for you and I to consider. Uncorking the Past, Our Love Affair with Fermented Beverages.
Now, sure.
They must know a lot more about you and me and our drinking habits.
Oh, absolutely.
It's a talk by molecular anthropologist Patrick McGovern. 7 p.m. on Thursday at the James A. Little Theater. There's no charge. So if you ever want to learn about the history of fermented beverages, this is a good place to go. It is a School for Advanced Research public lecture series.
It sounds so legitimate.
It does. I wonder if there'll be samples.
See you there.
Did you ever go to a wedding dressed up nicely and you weren't invited to it? And when people from the bride's side come over, you say, I'm with the groom's side?
Well, it was mine. Yeah.
That was your wedding?
Yeah.
How's she doing?
I don't see her anymore.
I see. That's the best way to keep a marriage going sometimes. Okay. What else do we have? Did you want to speak some more about these little press releases she gave you?
I don't know. I lost my place. I'm kind of gun-shy now.
No, don't be. I'm not Charles Bronson.
September 5th, Hinterbichler Lecture.
Uh-oh.
At St. John's. Dr. Carl Hinterbichler, professor of music at the University of New Mexico. It is the fall 2008 Dean's Lecture and Concert Series. The title is something in German. Oh, this was not made for me. Something, something, something from the Middle Ages to the present.
I like you more and more.
Uh-huh.
Especially when you start talking about presents.
At the Great Hall, Peterson Student Center, St. John's. It's Friday, which is today, 8 p.m. The lecture is free, open to the public, and followed by a Q&A in German.
Because if Mary Charlotte were here and it was like in any language, Hindu,
she would show off.
Bengali,
yep.
Zulu, she'd just do it perfectly. You know, and I can't even pronounce it when it's in English.
We have tea every once in a while, and I never understand what she's saying.
That's because you're drinking tea with her. Get a couple of shots of wine in her, and you'd be surprised what she says. Okay, I was going to talk about Autopsy, Investigation 101 and the CSI Effect. This is a lecture by Tim Spetitik, the Office of the Medical Investigator here with the State of New Mexico, and it's taking place at the Georgia O'Keeffe Education Annex on Wednesday. And you have to call for reservations. There's no charge for students age 13 and 18 or their parents and teachers. And the phone number is 946-1000. And I am afraid to say we do not have the time listed in the Pasatiempo. And again,
not again.
It happens. We got like, you know, 8,200 listings in there. One or two, is we're going to miss it. Want to go up to Taos for the Big Barn Dance Music Festival?
Yeah, let's talk about that.
Down, 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 down.
I know somebody who went a year or so ago.
What happened?
They had a great time.
They did?
Yep.
They come back?
They came back.
There was no burning?
No, they went to New York from there.
Featuring Michael Hearn, the Shake Russell Band, Chuck Pyle, and others, noon to 11 Friday, noon to 5 Saturday, both days at the Old Blinking Light Restaurant, mile marker 1 up at Ski Valley Road. Why don't you check out BigBarnDance.com or call 575-758-5826 up north of Taos. So there you go. There's stuff to do. If you ever want to audition for a play, the Santa Fe Playhouse is looking for actors for Arsenic and Old Lace.
Oh, I love that play.
Well, you should try out for it. You'd be good.
How do you know?
I just have a feeling that you'd be very good as that Teddy Roosevelt guy that scribe goes flying up the stairs, charge! And he thinks he's burying the bodies from the yellow
fever.
Down below. There's something about your nepotism that makes me think that you'd be fit right in. Except now I lost my place for where I'm
I got one for you.
Go ahead.
It is the beginning of Readings and Conversations, annual season of readings. Landon Foundation sponsors, of course.
That's right.
Tony Hoagland and with Kate Daniels will be here Wednesday the 15th of October at 7. And tickets are on sale as of Saturday, the 6th of September. There is, of course, an RNC that will be repeated this weekend. We broadcast all the readings and conversations. Many are sold out, and so if you can't get in, you can always hear it on Sunday on KSFR beginning at, George, 2 o'clock. Thank you.
Good. He's talking to an invisible man. It always scares me. I can feel the guy touching the back of my head. The open auditions for Arsenic and Old Lace are 10 o'clock Saturday and Sunday, September 27th and 28th, and the play runs through the Christmas season at the Santa Fe Playhouse. Now, let's say you like animals and you believe that they are just as artistic as you or I.
We were just talking about that.
And if you've seen anything I've ever made artistically, you would probably agree.
Poor animals.
There's the great the art show, the doggy art show over at Zoe and Guido's Pet Boutique today. There's a reception from 5 to 7. It's called Perfect Works of Art. It's amazing, isn't it? And this is from 5 to 7. All proceeds benefit the Alice Lee Fund of Assistant Dogs of the West. Alice Lee being someone who needs a new assistant dog, which are dogs that assist people that need assistance.
Which is fantastic. It's fun to watch them.
It is, and you're not supposed to pet them or bother them when you see them on the subway.
You just ask them to open the refrigerator, get you a beer.
I see you've had experience. I'd be happy to do that for you as long as there's a beer there for me. 1441 C, as in canine, Paseo de Parata on the corner of Guadalupe, I think, over there by Chicago Dog, which seems apropos.
Uh-huh.
And you're going to see some of the work these animals made in a workshop last Friday night. There you go. I think it's very plausible because I remember that horse that talked. Remember that?
Mr. Ed.
Documentary about that guy? Yeah, Mr. Ed.
Yeah.
It's amazing. I always wanted to find him and chat with him a little bit.
What was the name of the actor who played the guy who was in love with the horse?
That was Alan Young.
That's right.
It was like, that's his claim to fame.
How about his blonde wife?
I was thinking the same thing. I was 8 years old. I was like, how about that blonde wife? I don't remember her. I really don't. What was her name?
I don't know.
And you don't have your Wikipedia with you like
I don't. No, I haven't got
it. Marisha has like, all nothing. These fun facts at her fingertips.
I got nothing. No.
You know, but the minute I talk about Bigfoot, she wants to turn me off the air. What time is it?
It is 8:54.
I'm glad you don't, like, cue the station to bring the music in early like she does. People don't see that she presses a little button. Photographer Guy
Tillum. She's a little cynical, isn't she?
Well, I don't think so. I think she's Presbyterian.
No.
Photographer Guy Tillum is going to be speaking about fusing photojournalism. And it's like somebody just tripped behind me. Probably because my foot was out. Fusing Photojournalism and Fine Art is a lecture by photographer Guy Tillum at 6 p.m. Monday, September 8th at Tipton Hall, College of Santa Fe. Not too expensive to get in, and even half that price for students and seniors.
424-5050. Paul Weideman did a really nice Q&A with Tilleman today's Paso Tiempo. He was born and raised in South Africa and worked and got a degree at Cape Town University, and he's shot a lot of images around the world, including, obviously, South Africa. And it's a really good Q&A. We have several Q&As in today's Paso Tiempo. I'm trying to remember what the third one is. I'll find it eventually. A really nice movie that opens at the Vargas today, Frozen River. Go see it, please.
Yeah, have you seen it?
A really good drama. I got to see a preview screening.
Ah.
It's a beautiful picture. It's tense as anything, but it's not downbeat at all. It's about two women trying to survive and the Canadian border and going to sort of desperate measures to make it work, but it's really uplifting and wonderful. Please, 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 good movie. What's the last really good movie you saw? Was it The Mummy?
No, no.
Was it House Bunny with Anna Faris?
No. I'm thinking. I'm thinking.
It was probably Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants Part 2.
No.
I see.
Oh.
Was it Casablanca on TV?
Yeah, I see that 5 times a year.
I love Casablanca. Me too.
Love Casablanca.
I always get to the ending, I get so excited.
I could live Casablanca.
I know it. I don't know why she went off with Paul Henry, though. Bogart was more interesting.
Dow's Place.
What?
Oh, Rick's Place. Rick's Bar.
Oh, I see. Yeah. Fantasizing you run the Blue Parrot of it with Sidney Greenspan.
Uh-huh.
Probably throw me out on the first night with a couple of those big bouncer guys. Yeah. The Metaphysical Film Festival is going to happen in a couple of weeks. Can you explain to me briefly what metaphysics is?
You're thinking of someone else.
Mary Charlotte,
yeah.
Obviously.
I'm just a regular guy.
This is great. I never imagined I'd come out and be the smart one. That's September 18th through 21st at the Scottish Rite Temple, 9840272. And the Lenzik is going to show Mr. Smith Goes to Washington.
I
love that movie.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. September 13th, 7 p.m. You got to pay to get in. It's part of their big screen classics.
Those are great.
They should play some Pam Grier movies, though, don't you think?
Pam Grier, absolutely.
Like Foxy Brown and Coffee. They had great titles, too.
Those are classics.
You didn't even need the plot. You just needed the title.
There is no plot.
Yeah, well, there's Pam Grier.
Right.
Yeah, so that's good. I think she took a lot of baths.
I think I'm a little too sympathetic to your, how you say it, America, interests.
Je ne sais quoi. I know that French stuff. Bill Hutchison comes on. He's spokesman for Scandinavia. That's a fine patriot. Get my hands on him. I'll teach him Scandinavia. Although there are some Scandinavian sweeties. Wasn't Elke Summer Scandinavian?
Sure she was. So was Inger Stevens.
Inger Stevens. That's Anita Ekberg?
The farm. No. Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Sure.
Let's do one or two more of those before I have to go back to talking about the arts. Because to me, this is very artistic. It's a body of work that needs paying attention to, those Scandinavian sweeties. Okay, so it's been really fun to be on the
show. She's going to be so mad at us.
Who?
You know.
She's not even awake. Probably getting her dogs ready for the pet parade.
Oh, no, she's too nervous about this. She's awake.
No, why does she need to be nervous? We're doing fine. Carnival of Lost Symbols. That's the name of a show, Interactive Mixed Media Sculpture by Aaron Harrington. 5 to 7 p.m. tonight at the Flying Cow Gallery in Warehouse 21 in the rail yard. Java Joe's has mixed media drawings and sculpture by Non Tortoise. Reception 5 to 7. Java Joe's out on Rodeo Road. Charlotte Jackson Fine Art has layered compositions, paintings, and drawings by Michael Roliard. Reception 5 to 7:30. They're down on Marcy Street. And Mesa Photo Arts in the Santa Fe Camera Center has a group show of photos. Reception 5:30 to 8. 851 St. Michael's Drive. I got to go over there and get my dry cleaning at that place. It's up the road from there. Maybe I'll stop in. And tonight at Upper Crust, Eric Carlson playing some guitar stuff. El Paseo Bar and Grill has the Texas Toad Ranch Barbecue.
All right.
9 o'clock tonight. You got to pay to get in. Not too much. La Casa Cena has the best of Broadway and jazz. And that's my cue music.
Oh, wait a minute. I didn't push the button.
I know. You're much more gracious than she is. A pleasure. Thanks for having
me on. Hey, great to see you.
I'll see you around sometime.
Robert,
that's me.
Yes, you will.
Okay.
I live here.
I know. So do I.
That's Robert Knott.
I fooled him when
Speaking
I dressed up as Charles Bronson that time in San Diego. That was good.
And I'm Dal Dierman here, probably never again, for Mary Charlotte as we celebrate her, the end of a week of illness for that poor woman. Thank you all for being with us. And, you know, it's weird. People have been walking by this table for the last hour, looking at me strangely, like, what have you done with her?
Right, I know. Yeah. You're going to be very unpopular.
Well, I already am.
They're happy to see me. There's some
continuity. It was a relief.
This is like Smiley Burnett taking over the Gene Autry show, really.
Those were the days. Oh, wait, I have something to read here. I can't find it. Dot Foil Communications, they're good guys. And have a good weekend, everybody. Thanks.
That was easy.
Uh-huh.
Can you at least say ciao?
Oh, ciao.
Yeah, good.
Yes.
That's nice.
Robert,
see you around
lovely to see you.
Yeah, nice, thank you very much.
Yes, well.
Are we still on the air?
Yeah, Earl, you can take it away now.